Filmmaker Mark Cousins has returned to his hometown of Belfast to mark the 50th year since the beginning of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. In this film for Channel 4 called The Troubles on Film, he reflects on how the place and its history have been used and occasionally abused by the cinema. Mark Cousins joins me now from our studio in Edinburgh. Mark, you were 4 years old in 1969 when The Troubles began. Do you have very strong memories of that time?
Strangely, not very visual memories. You know, I think what you remember is a sort of background noise. I think a certain anxiety. I remember my mum would say there was a glass door in our house, and she would say, if you walk into the hall and you see somebody standing outside behind the glass door, run away. You know, so there were little warnings. There were the background anxieties. That's my first memory.
You talk about the importance of film to you and to many people that you knew, and that films would take you somewhere else, somewhere more beautiful, less skewered by fear. How full of fear was your hometown as you grew up?
I think there was quite a lot of fear. We were lucky that none of our direct family were killed in the Troubles, but my parents came from the famous, most troubled bits of Belfast, the Falls and the Shankill. We were a working class family, so we didn't have the advantage of that middle class detachment that people could have if they lived in the leafy suburbs, you know. And so there was a sense of anxiety. There were lots of things. I remember at school we would go through, you know, rehearsals of sitting under the desk and if you heard gunfire and stuff. So it was, yeah, there was definitely a sense that we were in war. You know, it was almost like war was like a tide that came in and out.
You say in the film the cinema was like a shelter from the storm. When did you take refuge with film?
Firstly, it was on TV, you know, seeing BBC TV, old movies, Alfred Hitchcock films, etc. But then I discovered the cinema, and of course the cinema in the late 70s, they were closing down anyway, but with the Troubles it was even harder to go to the cinema. And so I had the sublime feeling of, I remember going to one movie, a Steve Martin film called Dead Man Don't Wear Plaid, mm-hmm. and I was the only person in the cinema, and it was like Steve Martin was doing it for me. So, you know, people didn't go out so much, they stayed home more, but I ventured out, went to the movies and fell madly over head over heels in love.
And you take us through the key films, some that relate to the Troubles, but also some that relate to just your love of film.
Yeah.
And Odd Man Out is one of the first films you talk about. You situate yourself in the Crown Bar in Belfast, and that's where James Mason was filmed as the IRA man in The Odd Man Out. Tell us why that is an important film.
It was just so beautiful. It was so textured. My mum and dad drank in the Crown Bar, you know, so I knew it in real life. And then there it was on screen, like in a film noir. The Odd Man Out looks like it's got the colours of a pint of Guinness, you know, it's velvety black and almost creamy white, you know, and there's something magical, something velvet-like, dreamlike about that film. He's never explicitly identified as an IRA man, but as you say, you know, he probably is. And so, you know, when you're living in the sort of grim everyday of a war, to see it poeticized, to see it turned into something flickering almost, was very special.
Let's listen to a clip from Odd Man Out. Here's James Mason as he plays Johnny McQueen, a leader of, we presume, the IRA.
We've always drowned your voice without shouting, haven't we, Father? We never really listened to you. We repeated the words without thinking what they meant. But I remember when I was a boy. I remember when I was a child. I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
That was James Mason in Odd Man Out, and I'm talking to Mark Cousins about his film, The Troubles on Film. The Ritz Cinema in Belfast was bombed in 1977, and you talk about how easy it is to kill art, really, in a time of war.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that one of the more disturbing things about wars, and I've been in several wars in Sarajevo and in Iraq as well as in my home place, you know, is that they try to dampen your spirit. You know, people really need entertainment. They really need their imagination fueled. We're hungry for art and entertainment the way we're hungry for bread and pizza and stuff like that. And I think some of the people in fighting in wars really try to control our minds by stopping us even being able to go to places of entertainment. And after all, cinemas, the ones in the centre of town, were not segregated. Protestants and Catholics went together, and people didn't want that. The combatants didn't want that necessarily.
So then you talked about how film watching came back into the home, and you talked about your friend David Holmes, and he talks about that idea of watching films at home, and that there was a pirate video library near his house.
Yeah.
That was a lovely story. Could you tell us that?
Yeah, I mean, David, the great composer of Hollywood films and Irish films, etc., you know, he told us the story of going to the video libraries that were in every street corner. We had them as well. And you'd go in and they were piled up. They were like Aladdin's cave of VHS tapes, many of them bootleg. I don't know if we even paid, or we paid very, very little to rent them. And it was so exciting. Nowadays, in the era of YouTube, etc., and Netflix, it wouldn't strike people as odd to be able to just get a film whenever you wanted, but we could. And I went straight for horror movies, age inappropriate. I was seeing really scary films too young. But that kind of plenitude, these, looking back, they were probably pretty dingy places, but for us, they were dream palaces, these video libraries.
Yes, and you also say that that the powers that be on both sides of the sectarian divide didn't want young men and women at home watching these kind of videos on their own.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the powers that be on both sides liked to control us. It felt as if they want to keep us scared, keep us imprisoned. But you can't imprison people's imaginations, and our imaginations, especially when you're young, you are hungry for the world. I hadn't been in love. I hadn't been to France. I hadn't been to New York. But I saw love in films, and I saw France in films, and I saw New York in films. And it just set me up for the rest of my life. It sort of felt to me as if cinema took me by the hand and said, let me show you the world.
Another film that you choose is Neil Jordan's Angel. And for the film, but even more importantly, for the fact that it starred Stephen Ray.
Yeah, I mean, that was really exciting, because for me, the silver screen was a place where Marilyn Monroe lived and John Wayne lived and Doris Day lived and Robert De Niro lived. But then here was somebody on the big screen speaking with a Belfast accent. James Mason didn't speak with one in Odd Man Out, but Stephen Ray had an accent like mine. And he was up there on screen in Neil Jordan's masterpiece of a film, which is swoony and poetic and neon lit and disturbing, of course, and abstract and otherworldly. And that was so great for me to see.
Let's listen to a clip from Angel. Here, Donal McCann plays a crooked policeman, Bonner, and here he intimidates Stephen Ray, who plays Dan.
What is this place?
It's a dormitory. It's a place where people sleep.
If you listen, you can hear them.
Hear what?
Sleeping.
You know him.
I knew him. You know me now.
That was a clip with Donal McCann and Stephen Ray from Neil Jordan's 1982 film Angel. You also talked about Hollywood films and things like The Devil's Own, and you dismiss it as well-intentioned shite. Could you explain yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hollywood, you know, tried it saw the Troubles as a kind of, and this whole series of cliches, you know, love across the barricades, or, you know, a thriller, and they use the Troubles as a background to get our heart beat racing. We, of course, in Belfast and Northern Ireland, didn't need to have our hearts made to race because, you know, the Troubles did that for us, you know. So we sat with wry smiles watching these big Hollywood actors attempting to do our accents, or, you know, we looked at these films that were obviously shot in Leeds or somewhere like that to stand in for Belfast because they were too scared actually to come to Belfast. And, you know, it was insulting in a way, but at least it was better than nothing. You know, at least it made us seem a bit interesting. You know, when people, as it were, cinema was talking about us, even if what it was saying was rubbish, at least it was talking about us.
Then, of course, the 1980s came and the hunger strikes. And you talk about two films in particular. That's the Les Blair H3 film and then Steve McQueen's Hunger. Could you show how they both approach the subject of the hunger strikes?
Well, H3 was written by one of the hunger strikers, Lawrence McKeown, and so it had this new veracity, this new accuracy about what it really felt like, you know, this sociology of the prisons, and, you know, the actual, it was politically nuanced, I thought, you know. And then Steve McQueen's film Hunger, starring Michael Fassbender, was again the sort of film that I was really attracted to, because it was something, it wasn't only about the issues, you know. So many films were about Belfast and Northern Ireland as a problem, but it wasn't only a problem, you know. It was beauty and ugly, and it was aesthetic, and it was full of desire, etc. And Hunger was a film about bodies, you know, broken bodies. But also my favourite scene was, I remember snow falling on knuckles of a hand that are bloodied and bruised, you know. And that cinema is always in some way, whatever else it is, a dream state. And even Hunger, this brutal film about the hunger strike, was a dream state.
Let's listen to a clip from Hunger. Here, Michael Fassbender, who plays Bobby Sands, talks about finding an injured foal as a young boy.
Next thing, one of the priests sees the foal, tells us not to move, and we're done for. I mean, we're really done for. Group of boys will always get the blame for hurting the foal. Group of Belfast boys will get a hammering for sure. So it's clear to me in an instant, and I'm down on my knees, and I take the foal's head in my hands and I put him underwater. He's thrashing around a bit to start, so I press down harder until he's drowned. Priest arrives though. He's grabbing me by the hair, dragging me through the woods, promising me a proper hiding. But I knew I did the right thing by that wee foal. And I could take the punishment for all our boys. I had the respect of them other boys now, and I knew that. I'm clear of the reasons, Dom. I'm clear of all the repercussions. But I will act, and I will not stand by and do nothing.
Michael Fassbender from Steve McQueen's Hunger. Now, so many years later, do you think, you talked about the Edinburgh Festival being a memorial or an end point to the Second World War for the people of Scotland. Is there something that cinema could do for Belfast?
Yeah, I think, you know, famously when the Edinburgh Film Festival, when the Edinburgh Festival started in 1947, it was set up to heal the wounds of war, not only to entertain, but to heal the wounds of war, you know, start that, the scar tissue, start it to heal, and to look internationally and look deep into humanity and ask, what is it that's valuable about us as citizens? So in terms of the Troubles, you know, I think the, frankly, the wound was healing well. However, recent politicians in Britain, I think, are starting to pick at it and potentially open it again, which is very scary, of course, for all of us. But crucially, we need to keep making films there, keep telling stories from multiple perspectives. So, because The Troubles was everything about everything, it wasn't only sociology, there was mental health, there was escapism, there was desire, there was longing, all sorts. We need to keep telling stories about those kind of things, because those stories are bombs. They will heal the wounds of war. The wounds will never go away, but they'll bed down and fade as the generations pass, we hope, unless politicians start picking at them again.
Mark, before you go, can you tell us a little about your latest project, Women Make Film, in which Tilda Swinton is an executive producer?
Yes. I make films about cinema often, and this one I've been making for about 7 or 8 years. I've always really been fascinated by the great female directors in movie history, and we think there are very few of them, but actually there are thousands. So I started going to film archives around the world, in Hong Kong and Romania and Albania, and saying, who are your great female directors? And it was a joy to discover so many great filmmakers from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, etc. And yeah, Tilda Swinton is exec producer, and Jane Fonda does some of the commentary, and the great Deborah Winger, do you remember her from Officer and a Gentleman? She does some of the commentary. So I have, I'm such a lucky guy. I've got to work with some of the greatest women in cinema.
And do you think we'll get to see it here in Ireland?
Yes, we will. It's premiering quite soon at the Toronto Film Festival, and then it's being bought and for TV around the world. I just heard that even Indian television has bought it. So I'm very much hoping that it'll come to a small screen near you, but it's certainly being brought out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Mark Cousins, thank you very much. The Troubles on Film will air on Channel 4 in early September. It will coincide with a season of groundbreaking films on Film 4 about the Northern Ireland experience, including Steve McQueen's Hunger, Yann Demange's 71, and Neil Jordan's Oscar-winning The Crying Game.